Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back for the final panel discussion of Host City 2016. On business events and economic activity. Immediately after this, there will be another presentation from Rio about the business legacy of the Olympic Games. And from there, we will go straight into a two consecutive roundtables in this room about bidding for, hosting, and delivery and legacy of events. So please stay with us, and we'll have some very exciting discussions over the next hour or so. But first of all, I'm very pleased to invite Adrian Visser, the Vice Mayor of Rotterdam and Alderman for Sports, who will talk about the Rotterdam experience.
Van hen mag het meeste worden verwacht.
Marinde verkerkt uit Rotterdam in de finale in haar eigen Ahoy.
De meeste lopers komen uit Rotterdam.
De start vanuit Rotterdam.
Keep on rising.
Marieke Kaiser on the far side, beautiful, fluid motion.
Nee, gaat op de paal. Wat een pech voor Nederland, zeg.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the interim Netherlands.
Nederland's number one and two. Oh, we got
the Volvo Ocean Race.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for the opportunity to speak here in Glasgow today. As you can see, Rotterdam has been hosting some incredible sports events the last years. And besides sport events, of course, we also hold some amazing festivals and cultural events. We do everything to ensure they can be enjoyed by as many people as possible. For example, we hold the annual North Sea Jazz Festival. And we organize hundreds of concerts and even events throughout the city. And it is during 2 weeks that all the people from Rotterdam, they can enjoy this festival, all kinds of experiences, even without a ticket to the main event. And we aim, as Rotterdam, to manage the effect of events with our events policy. And it's called Deeper into the City, Further out into the World. And to achieve this, we have six profiling themes. And I'll give them to you. The first one is architecture. Who has been in Rotterdam before? I hope you have enjoyed the architecture that has been there now for a lot of years. But last year, we have some really beautiful new buildings. The second one is sport and water. The third one is young people. The fourth, multicultural. International art and culture is number five, and international sports is number six. And we cluster events under these themes at specific times to strengthen the international reach and impact. Let me give you another example. It's not only sports, it's also about art. The International Art Week Rotterdam in February each year has grown to become an art week. Throughout that week, Rotterdam has everything to do with arts, with alternative arts fairs happening alongside Art Rotterdam, a host of events and celebration in the city center, and you can see all over the city it's completely dressed as Art Rotterdam. But also in sports, we have three objectives when hosting sport events. First of all, and that's very much very important for a vice mayor, of course, enabling more people to enjoy Rotterdam by using the city, as a stage, and promoting Rotterdam through the city's DNA. No nonsense, international and pioneering. Secondly, encouraging sports participation among Rotterdammers, the people from Rotterdam, by organizing side events. And finally, strengthening the Rotterdam economy, of course, including the hotel and the catering industry, and by linking local suppliers with events. And we choose events that contribute to these goals. And we always measure the economic impact of major one-off sporting events. And these evaluations are done by students from our University of Applied Sciences using a methodology that was developed through a Rotterdam initiative. And it is now used nationally for all sports events. And it is, of course, it allows us to compare events and their impact. And as a city, we also, provide financial support to events through revenues from the hotel tax, which visitors pay when staying in Rotterdam overnight. This money goes into a fund to give us flexibility when bidding for events. And one key condition for these events is that they should be multi-day events, two or three or more days. Because in this way, we encourage people to stay in our city, provide income from the hospitality industry, and at the same time, put the money back into the fund again. Thanks to these efforts, Rotterdam hits the international headlines with positive news several times a year now. And that was not the case 20 years ago. I can assure you that. I grew up in Rotterdam. There was nothing else to do than go to school and back home again. Rotterdam has been highly ranked now on many lists over the recent years. And some examples I'm very proud of course, because last year in 2015, we celebrated, that's kind of awkward to say that, but we celebrated 75 years of reconstruction after the devastating bombing, of course, in May 1940. And one of the main attractions was a giant staircase, really, a staircase up to a building. And it went all over the world. The media coverage was tremendously, and it was reported all over the world. But we also had, 3 weeks ago, the MTV Music European Music Awards. I didn't know any of the people who were on the stage, so two or three of them. But my daughter and my son, they were very, very happy to have the MTV Awards in Rotterdam. In 2010 and 2015, Rotterdam was declared World Festival and Event City. And Lonely Planet now put Rotterdam at number 5 on the top cities in the world for travelers in this year, 2016. On the Global Sports City Index, Rotterdam is in 13th place. And of course, we are a relatively small city. We have 630,000 inhabitants. And of course, cities like London, Moscow, Rio de Janeiro, they are above us. But cities like Barcelona, Istanbul, and yes, also Glasgow, they are below us on the list. Rotterdam seeks out events with maximum impact. We have an ongoing commitment to organize peripheral activities for Rotterdamers, the people from Rotterdam, so they also can experience and take up sports on a regular basis. We ensure there is adequate provision of high-quality sports facilities. Sporting events form an integral part of the Rotterdam sports policy, leading to a long-term impact and broad support. And in this manner, in 2017, next year, we'll be hosting some great events. In March, we will be hosting the Short Track Speed Skating World Cup. In July, not only Rotterdam, but also some other cities, we will host the Women's Euro Football playing in July. And in September, we will be hosting the Triathlon World Championships, three major events in Rotterdam next year. And I'm also proud to say that last Saturday in Tokyo, the European Championships for 2019 in show jumping, dressage, I didn't know the good words for that, and para-equestrian dressage were allocated to our city by the Fédération Equestre International Bureau. And of course, we have a city, we have a long tradition with hosting major equestrian championship. We already hosted the three European dressage championships since 1957, the most recently one in 2011. But it is very, very rare that you have three championships in one week, and the combined three championships in August in 2019 will be a unique event for us in Rotterdam. We are also looking to organize multi-sports events with a large number of participants and complex, of course, complex organization. We're aiming to create internships and job opportunities in this field, especially for young people in Rotterdam. And we have also an agenda ahead. For example, we'll be hosting the World Police and Fire Games. Who have ever heard of that? I've been there in the United States. I was surprised by the size of it. And it will now come to Europe, to Rotterdam, in 2021. And also, we are studying on the possibility to bid for the Youth Olympic Games in 2023. Alongside these, we'll be organizing side events that have an economic impact, of course, like a major conference linked to an event. And these conferences, they wouldn't always have to be about sports, but that could be. For example, this conference is very welcome in Rotterdam, of course. And this is what Rotterdam is doing and what Rotterdam stands for. And to boost these plans and intentions, Rotterdam is, of course, here today. I'm very willing to learn from you. We have some people from Rotterdam here in the audience, and they are also willing to talk with you about this and take your lessons, our lessons learned, back home to Rotterdam. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vice Mayor Visser, for that excellent introduction to this session. My name is Aileen Crawford, and I head up the conventions team here in Glasgow. I'm delighted to have you all in our city this morning. So this session today is about business events, hosting four conferences, and looking at the economic development and economic benefit, the impact a conference has on a destination, and actually talking about the profile of conferences, and how a conference can bring and make the most of the city that they are in. So we have an excellent panel today. I will introduce them all. In your host city pack, you obviously have the biographies in much more detail, so I'll just do a quick introduction, and so you can get to see who everybody is. Please have a think about any questions you may have. You can do it the old-fashioned way, just put your hand up at any time, or if you want to use the hashtag, then you can do a question through the hashtag, and Ben will wave at me if anybody wants to do it that way too. So let me do the introductions before we get started. So we have François Moreau, who is joining us from the city of Paris. So François is the head of the Service for Higher Education for Research, Innovation and Creative Industries at the city of Paris. Then we have Dr. Reinhard Pfeiffer, who is joining us as the Deputy Chief Executive from Messe Munich. And Dr. Pfeiffer has been Deputy CEO of Messe Munich since April 2014 and responsible for international trade fairs, guest events and congresses. In the middle we have with us Andrew Backus, who is the head of the Sports Economy Team at the Department for International Trade. And Andrew is responsible for developing export strategies and promotional activity to assist UK companies explore opportunities arising from sporting projects. We have welcomed Alderman Vissers, who has joined us from Rotterdam. We've just heard from him. And finally, we have Michael Nagy, who is the director of the Rio Convention Bureau. And just briefly for Michael, commercial director of the Rio Convention Visitors Bureau, who has extensive experience across different sectors of the tourism industry, travel agency, events organisation, and hospitality. So should we give a warm Glasgow welcome to our panellists? Thank you very much. So to get us going, I think it'd be quite nice if everybody has an opportunity just to say from their perspective what the business events and conference industry means to them, just as a little bit of a start off. Michael, would you like to go first?
Good morning. Hello to everybody. Obviously, events for Rio, we've just had the Olympics, as you all know, the World Cup, we had the Pope, In the last 10 years, we've had every possible of the biggest events. We just need the expo now. Where's the Mitris? I have to tell you, you're coming to Rio. Events Rio has a vocation for events. The city is set up for events. We want events of every type, be it congresses, conferences, and sporting events. As the world saw, we know we have the infrastructure. We're ready to receive them. But it is something that every city needs, and Rio has a tendency for it. World congresses, be it conferences, incentives, Rio's ready as a destination, and it certainly has the inspiration to make events great. So we believe a lot in this segment, and it's something we invest highly in.
Thank you very much, Michael. Alderman Visser, from your perspective.
Yeah, but you just saw a video, and for us it is very important. We are a relatively small city in the Netherlands, the second city, but with 630,000 people, it's not that big. We are a very international city. We have almost 175 nationalities, the biggest port in Europe still. And we have some very good venues. And for us, all these kind of events are very important, also for the Rotterdam economy. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And Andrew, I think you bridge the host city conference for us with your expertise and experience from London 2012. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you did there?
Yeah, sure. So really we were trying, so major sporting events themselves are a fantastic weeks of sport, but actually they create a fantastic opportunity for business engagement. And there's nothing like a target to focus the mind. And we were set a 11 billion trade and investment target by the Prime Minister that we had to achieve within 4 years of hosting the Games. And it became very clear that, to use the sporting analogy, this was very much a marathon rather than a sprint. And we really needed to look at what we put in place both before the Games, during the Games, and actually after it. So a lot of the work beforehand was really raising the profile, again, of London, of the UK. It was engaging with actually some of the cities and organising committees that would host games actually after London. So we developed a very close relationship with Sochi in Russia and helped them through the cycle of London building and delivering the games so that they could actually learn. And we also utilised our embassies and high commissions around the world to run events to focus everybody back onto London. And actually, just to use a very small example of that, we worked very closely with the London sponsors and BT, British Telecom in particular. And actually, they ran a series of events at our embassies, which generated £100 million worth of new business alone for BT. During the Games, we then really tried to utilise an iconic venue. So we've got a government building, in fact, Lancaster House. Any of you that may have seen the King's Speech film, the inside, if you like, of Buckingham Palace was actually filmed in Lancaster House. So it was an iconic venue, and it was a real attraction for overseas delegates to come and visit. And we had 4,000 visitors from 63 different countries. And I can go into more detail about some of that. But then after the Games, really, you need to keep the focus on your city, on your businesses. And we quickly recognised that actually all the companies that secured business from London signed non-disclosure agreements, meaning they couldn't actually promote what they had done. So we worked with the IOC and the British Olympic Association to develop a supplier recognition scheme to enable those companies to be able to promote what they did. And then we worked very closely with those companies to take them international.
Thank you very much. From your perspective, Dr. Pfeiffer.
Yes, of course, for Messe München, the guest events and the congresses are very, very important. It's a huge part of our revenues. And as a company, we also have to produce results, produce some profit. But what is also very important for us, with the congresses, with business events, we can attract international visitors coming to Munich, and the international visitors, they need to sleep somewhere. So we are closely linked to the hotels, We have now in Munich about 40,000 hotel rooms, quite a large capacity. And we are always in a constant dialogue. How can we attract so many international congresses to Munich that the hotels are happy, that the restaurants are happy, and in the end, the perspective is everybody who is a stakeholder in that business, they have to work closely together. That's the secret, and that's what we are doing, or we hope to do it in Munich.
Thank you very much for that introduction. And finally, Francois, from Paris's perspective.
Thank you very much. Yes, for while Paris is well known as a leisure touristic destination, of course, but it's also well known as for its mice, and I'm not talking about Ratatouille and its friends, but of course of your sector. To give you some numbers, we estimate it represents the mice sector about 5 billion euros. Revenues for Paris each year. We say Paris is leader in this economy because we host 1,000 congresses every year, 400 fairs, so it should make us the first city in the world for welcoming this kind of events. And of course, it's very important for our economic development. It represents also 80,000 jobs. We say that one third of our visitors in Paris come for a professional journey. So it's really a major sector of our economy, the tourism and the business and the mice mice sector. So why is that? And being a leader, what do we want now, and what do we want for the future, and how to reach this objective? Our main aim right now is to maintain, of course, this attractivity and continue to target the big international events like we did with Euro, but also in every economic field where we have kind of an excellency in our region, to attract the biggest events in this particular industry. And one point of Paris economy is that we are not very specialized like other cities, like Frankfurt, for example, for finance. We are strong in like 7 or 10 different economic fields, and we try in every of these fields to attract the biggest events. I can give you some examples. For example, who knows that Paris region is leader for the numbers of jobs in the aerospace industry? I don't think it. Oh, you do, but you're living in Paris. but we have the air show, and maybe most people here know the air show at Le Bourget every 2 years. So that's an example. But I could talk about mobility, where we have the motor show for cars, which is one of the biggest in the world, with 1.5 million people coming. But it's also true on the health and the biotech industry, where we have so many congresses. We recently won the cardiology one, with one of the biggest of the sector. I could talk about fashion and design, where we have the Fashion Week every year. We have the Maison et Objet. We have the digital industry. Well, I could give you examples of every of these sectors of excellence, and that's our aim, really, to attract these events.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Very interesting on the sectors and how you focus on those sectors. And Mr. Visser mentioned that in your presentation, but how you focus on your key strengths of your city and how that can bring in that conference, it can bring in that event. Maybe, Michael, you want to talk about your perspective as Rio. Do you do something similar? Do you focus on your key sectors? How do you decide which conference to go for?
Well, it's a bit different. I mean, everybody here, you're all so close together. You're 3-4 hours away. We're 8 hours away from everybody else. So we have to think very carefully about what we're doing. Rio's obviously changed. We've had a city, and I'll talk later about that, but the city's changed totally its platform. The city today offers so much options of venues that there are so many new events for us to go after. We are very focused, obviously. Today, everything is about experiences. People are looking for their own time and at events to have some kind of experience. So it is about the gay and lesbian market. It is the adventure travel. It is the sporting world. It is destination weddings. It is the scientific and medical conferences, and we segment ourselves looking for events and creating products and experiences within the city for each of these segments. But more importantly, it's about, we want events that have continuity. What has to happen today is we need events that give us the day after, that there is something going on after the event. And I think that's important for everybody in the room. I mean, we're all in this to bring revenues, and it is about the economic impact and what it leaves in the city as a destination for us. It's important what's left back, what we can then put back into the city, as Vista said very carefully about what they do with room tax. I want to learn everything, by the way. It's very interesting, and this is the way you've got to develop it. I can just tell you, Rio, for instance, with the expansion we had, there's 70,000 new jobs in hotels. 70,000. So there's a lot going on. We're just about the same size as Rotterdam. You just have a bigger port still than we do. But no, it is segmentated. You've got to go after the segments. We're talking earlier, London were a gift to us in terms of preparing ourselves for the future, and GB House was spectacular. And there are things like, for instance, Sydney, Rio, Barcelona, Atlanta, London. We're actually working together now to try and get the big major events in the world that can actually fit in cities that have infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So you segment yourself that way. And we want business. We're open for business. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. And you're happy to partner, you're saying?
I'll give the example I was telling you earlier. We have partnerships with Lima, where we're actually going after events together so that the event stays 1 year there, 1 year here. What we understand is we need to help you who have the events to make it more effective. Why are we always competing every year for the same event or every 2 years? We waste energy so big going after, you know, we're always trying to take it from each other. Why not sit down with the entities or with the sports events and say, some of you have to go around the world, every continent or whatever. But what we'd like is, why not 1 year Rio, 1 year Durban, 1 year Rotterdam? Look, she's already putting her hand up. This is what we should be doing. We have to think ahead of time. We've got to think about the future. The future depends on destinations helping you guys make money. It's not about just paying to have the event. There has to be a joint venture, and there has to be results for everybody. Otherwise, we will not pay just for a one-shot deal. Mm-hmm. One shot, we've done it. We did the World Cup and the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You can't get any bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And we were talking earlier, I think both Andrew and Dr. Pfeiffer there, about finally putting to rest this idea that conferences will not continue in the future because of technology. Dr. Pfeiffer, do you want to say what you were saying about that and the fact that conferences will exist forevermore?
I just wanted to add, we are talking about major events on that side, about business events here, and we often discuss, are there differences? How can we attract major events? How can we attract business events? And in the end, it's always the same you have to do. Because in the beginning, you need a venue, a quality venue. You need the appropriate, the quantity and quality of the hotel accommodation. You have to be reached easily, mm-hmm. by train, by mm-hmm. car, especially by plane, and then you need an attractive city. And the customer expects a package. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to see you, okay, in regard with hotel accommodations, how can you allocate it? Please ask this person. Everything must be coming from one hand. And he also needs one face, mm-hmm. for everything that I meant with the collaboration. And on the other side, if we are talking about major events and business events, mm-hmm. there is a big difference in regard with the impact. Mm-hmm. If I want to establish a location as a business event location, mm-hmm. I should start with a major event to create awareness in the beginning. And with a major event, first of all, I have to invest. Not a fair site owner or venue owner. Mm-hmm. This is something for a city, mm-hmm. or for a region or for a state. If you want to be a successful business location for business events, then normally you need to reach a certain level, a major event to get this awareness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll talk to the audience just now. Is anyone sitting thinking they agree, they disagree, they're not sure about a point? Would anyone like to ask something before we continue? Feel free to wave. Has anyone done the host city hashtag? Have a look. Because if you do, that's quite a good idea. So just back on the point there, Andrew, about this idea around the technology and innovation and the connectivity that we have these days. We're also connected, sometimes too connected. There's the phone in our pockets or two phones in our pockets. So how does this impact on conferences? Francois, what would you like to say?
We believe it's a very strong point of interest for welcoming the tourists of the world and the business tourists. So that's why we try to invest in this. Any kind of innovation for the touristic field. And for example, we recently opened the first incubator completely dedicated to the touristic sector. We call it the Welcome City Lab. I don't know if maybe some of you have heard about it. But it's going very, very well. We have already 40 startups in this incubator dedicated to tourism. We launched recently another one dedicated to sports, which is called Le Tremplin, which made a little of buzz when there was the Olympic Games in Rio, because some of the startups could be there in the Club France and meet the professional of the sports industry. And that's very interesting because we located this incubator in a stadium, so the startups can communicate with the athletes, with the medias. They have access to all infrastructures of the stadium. So they're really deep into the sport industry. We're opening now a new incubator on gastronomy, which is called Smart Food. And of course, you're all aware of the security issues we had in Paris. So we also focus on this this point, and we open. We will open now something about something connected to security also. So that's a way to use digital services to reinforce our policy on digital services with the startups. But also we do it. Seeing Paris as kind of a living lab for urban experimentation. For any new devices, digital devices, to help the business tourists to have a good journey, trying to work on the package that you mentioned. We for example work on what we call Figital, which is half digital and physical, with our bus shelters that have now digital screen where you can find so many apps to find anything you need in your stay in Paris, and that's pretty much our idea of improving innovation to get on top.
That's great.
To remain on top, sorry.
That's great. I'm sure you get lots of questions from the audience afterwards around how that's working for the business startups. For Mr. Vissers, your city, we must remember the client in all of our discussions. So how is Rotterdam positioning itself to the client, to the conference organizer? What is your strategy in positioning your city?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because it's all about the clients coming to Rotterdam. And as you said, there's a lot of competition. And we have Amsterdam in the neighborhood, The Hague, Utrecht, Antwerp, and all kinds of other cities within, 2 hours drive. So it's very important to do that. And I think we finally managed to have a good event strategy with three foundations, Rotterdam Partners, mm-hmm. Rotterdam Festivals, and Rotterdam Top Sport. And they work together to, do the best for the client in Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. And for, the last 5 or 10 years, I think we succeeded in doing this better than before. And I think in the future it will not be only Rotterdam, but also be working together with other cities. Because we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. We can't bring out the bids anymore. There's a lot of money involved. Mm-hmm. So for the client, it will be, in the near future, I think, it will be going to an event in different cities, mm-hmm. but to go to the same event. We had the World Beach Volleyball. It was in The Hague. It was in Utrecht. It was in Amsterdam and in Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. And it was a big success. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be the future. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting partnerships and working. Andrew, anything on those topics you would like to pick up on?
I think partnerships is key to everything. I mean, and a good example for us was having done London, having delivered our house in London, mm-hmm. was how we then moved to Rio, and how did we utilise and build on what we'd done before. Mm-hmm. And we realised, I think, quite quickly that delivering a house outside of your home Olympics, mm-hmm. you're then up against the really strong competition, and of course, quite naturally mm-hmm. and quite rightly, the focus on Rio itself. And that's where the partnership came in. So mm-hmm. we developed a close partnership for the house with the British Olympic Association, with the Mayor of London, which enabled, for example, with the BOA, that the events that we ran in the house, particularly those towards the latter part of the day, we had the benefit also of the athletes coming back to the house mm-hmm. for medal ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And of course, we were extremely fortunate that the GB team did extremely well. But that that partnership between the BOA, the Mayor of London, meant that we ran a much more diverse range of events, mm-hmm. much more cultural as well as business-focused events within the house. And that, an iconic venue at the in the foothills of the Christ the Redeemer, in the Botanical Gardens historic building, and again, fantastic light show at night, which really brought it to life.
That's super. Thank you very much. Turn to the audience. Anything as final comments or final questions before our last session of the day? A few hands up there. The lady there, yes. Do you want a microphone brought up?
Thank you. My name is Anna Loreto. I'm from Arup. I think the partnership between cities is very, very interesting approach, because I think the success of a major event, especially a major event, lies on what's the plan for your city. You cannot just try, I want to host an event and I'll make it fit within my city. I think it's the other way around. The event, you need to see what's the story you want to tell for your city. Where do you want to be in, let's say, 20 years' time? And then you can see, how can a major event actually help me to get there? And then your event fits within your city. And of course, we've seen recently how Olympic Games, World Cup, how you can spend a lot of money on that. So I think an intelligent way of doing it is approaching other cities and try to combine your ambitions and see, okay, maybe I cannot host the entire event in here, because I'll have to build two venues that will not be used in the future for me, but my neighbor here, they can probably make a good use of that. So I think this partnership is an interesting approach, and I think the world of event is changing. We see Agenda 2020, and that's a very, very good point, a very good way of applying it in a smart and effective, sustainable solution. Very good.
You're doing that very much now in Rotterdam. Yep. Michael, you felt that way. How do you feel about that?
Well, we only believe in that. I firmly believe the world is changing. Going back to your original question, is people, the events market will never end. People will keep wanting to meet, no matter how much technology you have. On the contrary, the amount of apps every time I go to an event is getting ridiculous. I'm downloading an app, getting rid of an app.
That's right.
And in reality, what's missing is matchmaking. Mm-hmm. And networking, we all know how to do. What people want and our clients want is how to find the right client as quickly as possible. We're actually working together with a company in Australia to develop a matchmaking app for the city to give to events. And we should all be doing this together, really, because it's not just for us. That's what we need. And this thing about the working with cities, we started with London. We did something in 2014 with Barcelona and London, and there are events that have to go around the world. There's just no way. The convention demands that they go around, but they can only fit in certain amount of cities. Like in Brazil, we have São Paulo, Rio, Porto Alegre, maybe Salvador, and Brasília are the big venues. We are actually talking now about doing this with the entities. So we're sitting with, you were mentioning cardiology. We did it back in 1998. We had 14,000 people in Rio. It only fits in certain cities in the world. It cannot go anywhere else. We should actually be going to the entities and doing deals together. Imagine me sitting here with Rotterdam, all five of us here. and there's an entity for 20 years. That means every 5 years I have that event. That's good business. That's calendar business. It gives you planning, or sorry, six, because we have Glasgow as well. But you know, it's good for all of us, and it's good for the owner of the event. It's good for the venues. This is how it should be done. I don't see it any other way. I think that is the future. Sorry, spoke too much.
Yes, I do.
There's two more before. There's one up there, and there's one over there.
Is that a new question or a comment? About
comment.
Okay.
A comment. Yeah.
Hi everyone, my name is Perttu Pesä and I'm the director of major events from the city of Tampere, Finland. That's the city that doesn't exist for you. You know, because we do have a 230,000 inhabitants. So in the world there are 3,346 wider cities that we do have. And I'm pretty sure that if you can choose, you know, Brazil, Dutch, British, German, and France, you might choose to give to each other the Football World Cup title in every 4 years. So you can go right away. But the idea of sport is a competition. And that's why I think that it's really good that we do have to make competitions and bids, because cities like us, you know, the whole nation do have 5.4 million inhabitants. So it's, there are similar size of cities in all over the world. But if there is no such kind of competition, we can't develop our cities further. Because part of the bidding process is to develop our city using the events by doing that one. And that's why I don't agree the idea that you are sharing everything together.
Okay. But how about the money? But
how
about your bidding process as Tampere? Helsinki will have a lot of money, but you will have a little less money, I think. How does it work? Because I think we are competing too much. I think,
well,
really
they
do.
They do have a money, but we do have a talents. So.
Yeah.
But can I say something? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But there is a certain size of event you can have. And that's where you should think the same way we do in terms of certain events. Now remember, the bidding process is good. It's good for who owns the event. The bidding process is good for who owns the event. Destinations have to decide where they want to go. You have to decide also. I mean, I'm not against what you're saying, but obviously I'm not going to compete with you first because I have no snow. I have no ice rink. It's the only sports I can't compete for, unless I use Argentina.
In China, they can do that.
They probably will. But I think, look at it in a different way. There's things we will never compete for. There's smaller events we could compete for, but why not also do it together? The world is so big, there are so many events out there. I mean, I remember when I started in this, there was the Cardiology Congress, now you have the cardiogram for the left vein, for the right vein, there's so many events. I mean, you know, we can't complain we don't have events. What we would like, obviously, is have as many as we can.
Indeed. And there's more questions.
Yeah, just one more question I have, because everyone talks quite rightly about partnerships and how cities work with each other. First question is, does anyone see the World Cup or Olympic Games going down that same avenue where it's actually going from city to city all over Europe? And that being said, how do cities keep their identity and keep it, you know, promote themselves individually when it goes down that route as well?
I have an opinion. Give me a microphone, I won't stop talking. it's very, you can take it. But the World Cup and the Olympics, I'll be very honest with you, fantastic events. But somebody comes into your house and tells you what to do. So it's about, as you said very correctly, it's an opportunity to showcase your destination. And it helps. They do help a hell of a lot, I can guarantee you. Would we do it again? There'll be a lot of discussions about it. The World Cup is a different class of fish. The Olympics is another class of fish. Yes, Olympics and World Cup are fantastic to have if you need exposure. I think they are going to have to change their way of doing it. I think they found out with Rio, and I can say because the president of the IOC said this, what we got out of it, many cities in the world need this. So there's a lot of investment to do it, and it's made us a different city, and I'll show you in about half an hour. But it's not easy. It's not for everybody. I can tell you that now. It could fit in Tampa.
And I'm really convinced that the European Championship for football, soccer, that will be, like you say, and it will be every 4 years, it will be in the northern part of Europe, let's say Denmark, Sweden, Finland, eastern part, some countries, southern part and western, England, Germany, Belgium. And then we can do it all the way, because we can't afford it as cities. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for all of the integration there. Sorry, Francois, to finish off.
I could just give my opinion on the idea of partnerships a bit between cities. I understand your point, but I think it's a world responsibility to help each other, not to make the same mistakes that have been made by the past. If we want these major events to be more sustainable, to consume less energy, to be better for the world, we really have to look at what happened in Rio, what happened in London. You know that we lost with London when we competed for the Olympic Games in 2012, so we are very happy now to be able to work not only with the public sector, but also with the private sector that allowed London to make great Olympic Games. It was really a fantastic success. So that's what we want also for Paris 2024. I'm not allowed to talk too much about it, but you all know we are competing in this field, and having in our side people from private and public sector that made it possible in London is great, and I think it's great for the world, because if it's in Paris, we will make it more sustainable, more durable, and have a better legacy for Paris.
I can see a session for next year's conference working up nicely here. Time is against us. Another warm thank you from the audience, please, to our wonderful panelists.